Hi, I'm Rudy Goldman. I'm the producer, director, and videographer of Burgundy, People with a Passion for Wine.
Hi, I am Lydia Buchan, and I am the associate producer, language coordinator, and sound and light assistant for Burgundy, People with a Passion for Wine.
Welcome to Wine and Dine. My name is Lynn Crelo Chamberlain, host. You're listening to iWine Radio. Joining us this week on iWine Radio is Rudy Goldman and Lydia Buchan, who are producing a crowdfunding campaign video called Burgundy, People with Passion for Wine. I learned about this from the French Wine Society, and we're going to learn a lot more about this. This was filmed over a two-year period, and it is a mosaic of extraordinary stories about people whose lives revolve around the culture, challenges, and pleasures of wine and winemaking. And this is, I saw what was available up on Indiegogo, and we will have information for you to learn more. It's extraordinary. I kind of have a little bit of a understanding about filmmaking. My husband has done some documentary filmmaking. And Rudy, I would love to hear about your background. You're the producer, director, and videographer for Burgundy, People with Passion for Wine. But where did this all start?
Well, where did it all start? I don't think we have enough time to get that far into the history. But basically, my background has been producing, you know, television and videos for a very, very long time. And a lot of people know me in the United States for having produced two of the top fundraising programs in the history of public television, and that's Peter, Paul, and Mary 25th Anniversary Concert. Do you know that one?
Yes.
And Peter, Paul, and Mary Holiday Concert. I produced and directed both of those. So, you know, my background is, you know, working for lots of different public television stations and then working in New York and then L.A. and moving to here in the Netherlands, working for Dutch television, producing and directing. And also I worked for about a year for Buena Vista, which is a Disney company, and I was a director of production there and programming. So that's my background.
And why did you want to or feel that there was a need and that people would embrace this concept of a film about Burgundy?
Well, that's also an interesting story, because one of the things that my wife and I love to do, I mean, we love good food, we love wine, we love, you know, the ambiance of going to different places, and there's something really special about wine regions. And what we discovered is that when you go to a wine region, they're clean. You know, you can drink the water. You don't have to worry about whether the water coming out of the tap in the hotel is going to poison you. They're always in beautiful places. And the culture of wine is always very interesting. The people that are there, the way the buildings look and the way the vineyards look, and are they, you know, are they on hills or are they next to a river or whatever it is. We love nature. So what we would do whenever we ended up sort of going on vacation a lot to wine regions, and we didn't really realize we were making those kind of choices. So we used to have a house down in the south of France, in the Provence, and that's about we live in near Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and that's about a two-day drive. And so about, you know, when you get halfway down, there's a place called Beaune.
Yes.
And that's right in the heart of Burgundy.
Okay.
And so we would always go there and spend the night, and then sometimes we would spend a couple of days there too, because it's such a great place. And one of the things that we love to do is, you know, buy some local wine and some of the local food, you know, pâtés and cheeses and things that you can sort of take picnicking. And we would find, you know, the highest vantage point in one of the vineyards, and no one ever came and bothered us or, you know, threw us out or said you're trespassing or anything like that. When we would drive there, we put a blanket down and we'd spend the whole day there just talking and you know, seeing things that were going on, watching people work the vineyards from, you know, above, and drink some lovely wine. And for us, that was just something we loved to do. And we spent a lot of time in Beaune and the area in Rousseau and Poligny-Montrachet and all that area there in the Côte d'Or. So that's kind of how it started, but you know, we weren't making videos then at all. And about 2.5 years ago, Lydia and I decided that because we love to do this and we love the whole ambiance and scene of making wine and winemakers and the food, we decided that I had stopped doing videos for, well, quite a long time because I have a communications company called Media in English. And I've spent about the last 15 years or so training top executives to face the media or to do presentations in English and things like that. My wife is actually a doctor. And what we decided to do was, let's just try to make some videos in wine regions and see if we can, you know, get paid to do something we just really love to do and have a passion about. So I bought equipment. I had done some camera work when I was learning about the television business, and when I was in school at Indiana University, I worked for the local public television station there as a cameraman and just about everything else that you could imagine. And so I always love having a camera in my hand, and so I thought, well, let's get some really good equipment and just start working with it and seeing if we can make beautiful wine movies. So we started out doing those in Argentina, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
And there's an area, it's called Salta, which is also, it's a town, but it's also a region in the northwest of Argentina. It's just a gorgeous place in the mountains. And there's another very special place, which is about a 3.5-hour drive? Beautiful, beautiful area called the Quebrada. And it's called the Calajate. And that's another wine region, beautiful place, but very peaceful. And I started to make wine movies there. You know, just started to shoot the people, and we went for harvest time and got that. And I was just making a little handheld home video type thing for some of the people that we met there. There's a community called La Estancia de Cavajate. And it's a community, you could call it sort of a golf community, but it really isn't. It's more than that. Beautiful property and gorgeous houses and very peaceful. And, of course, it's everything is about wine there. And all the properties are in vineyards. There's a vineyard surrounded. And so there were lots of activities there, and I was shooting some of those and put them up on YouTube. And people got a big kick out of them. I don't want to tell you the name of the one that's on that a lot of people have seen because it's kind of early work now for me. I mean, I like to think that my quality has picked up since then. But this was, something we love to do. And since then, we taped in Argentina quite a few times. We also took a trip to Chile last year and made a video there with a very interesting wine group called Movi, Young Wine Makers, who wanted to break the tradition of the Chilean wine being cheap and cheerful.
Oh, interesting.
And there's also one of my films you could see on the internet. So basically, we were doing a lot of traveling and hauling equipment to places in South America and traveling from here and there and everywhere else, and it was really rough work for us. We weren't being paid for it, and we were just self-supporting. And we came back from one of these trips, and we said, it's only an 8-hour drive to Burgundy from here. We can put our equipment in the car. We can go to Beaune and Meursault and all the places that we love in the Côte d'Or, and we could video there. And so about 2 years ago, that's what we started to do. And we've made many, many trips back. I'm a member of the International Press Association. I'm a contributing videographer for them. And so when we went there the first time, we went to the Trois Glorieuses, which is a beautiful event that takes place, is centered in Beaune, at the Hospice de Beaune, which is an old medieval hospital. And that's the center of the wine industry now there. And they have a wine auction. Christie's has that every year. And that's what we did. We filmed a lot of the activities that happened during that particular weekend. And that became a pilot movie for us.
Okay.
And so that's on the internet. And that's the first Burgundy People with a Passion for Wine. You can see that on the internet as well. And that was the beginning. So we just kept going back and shooting more and more and more interesting stories. And as that happened, I thought, gee, you know, this is so good, and it's just so wonderful that, you know, we need to make a feature documentary out of it, you know, so something, you know, a little over an hour. And so that's how it all started.
So right now the crowdfunding is to help raise money to complete this feature documentary?
That's correct, yeah. Because, you know, for the 2 years, I mean, if you look at all the equipment that we bought, I mean, first-class equipment, I have two beautiful cameras, and we have all kinds of, you know, camera platforms that move, and lighting, LED lighting, and lots of great microphones and things. You know, that was a very expensive situation. And then, of course, all the traveling that we did to Burgundy and staying there and everything that we had to do was all paid for, you know, by us.
Out of pocket, yeah.
Yeah, out of pocket. And it was just, I guess, a belief that this was going to work, and I believe that it's going to work. I think the dream has come true. So we decided, Julien Camus, who is the president of the French Wine Association, who you spoke with,
we
had been looking for sponsors, and we went everywhere. I mean, you wouldn't believe. Every Burgundian wine organization, major distributors in the UK, United States, every organization of professionals in wine. We went everywhere to try to find a sponsor for this, for the film, and we couldn't get one. And I was talking to a really good friend of mine who's on our team, on our Indiegogo crowdfunding team, Mark Norman. And Mark said, let me see what I can do. And he got back to me, and he said, well, I may have solved your problem. So that's when I spoke with Julien. And he said, well, have you tried crowdfunding? And I said, well, the funny thing about that is that that was my next step. So we talked about how they could support us and how we could cross-promote. And he said to me, well, Rudy, the only way that we could be involved with this is if you have some really special perks. And, you know, they would have to appeal to, you know, the membership of our organization. And I thought, wow, this is great. I'm going to go for it for this. So one of the things that I did, which I think is really unusual because I don't think this has ever been done before. I mean, maybe it has, but I don't believe so, is I went to some of the wineries that we were shooting at and, so you know, some of the stories that are going to be in the documentary. And I said, you know, would you be willing to do some very special wine tastings that would appeal to people who really are, you know, love wine and want to know more about it, want to know about, you know, where the wine came from and why the people make it the way they do and what is their heritage and how does the food work with it. And, you know, all those things that people are really interested in wine and gourmet food or just, you know, travel and local food, what they would want. And so I went to some of the wineries, and they came back with packages that are just fantastic. The package that's now on the crowdfunding site is only one of four.
With Joseph Drouin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, with Joseph Drouin. And this is a fabulous experience. As a matter of fact, my wife and I are both going to buy a perk so we can go. The place is amazing. It's an old family, four generations. The wine they make is top quality. Everybody knows who they are. Anybody who's into wine understands their wines. They're, you know, in the higher priced echelon. But their cellars are amazing, just amazing. Lydia and I spent, I think about 6 hours, you know, filming down there. And they're, you know, they're turn of the 12th, 13th, 14th century, I believe. And when you go down there, it's just like going back in time. I mean, it's unbelievable. So we were down there. It's kind of warm. It was winter when we were there, or at least it was late fall. It's warm. The temperature is just right for the wine to in the barrels, you know, to age properly. It's an amazing experience. The smell of it is just, I would highly recommend anybody who's interested in wine, and especially in France, to go and to buy this particular perk, because there's only going to be a limited number of these. And this is a very special thing. So they're going to do a tour of this area that I'm talking about now, which will last someplace between an hour and 90 minutes. depending on how many questions that people have. We're going to have groups of 10 who would go. The downside, of course, is that, you know, the people that contribute and get one of these perks, they have to get themselves to Burgundy. So, you know, they have to be very committed
right.
in that sense, you
right.
know. But it will be something that will really be a, you know, a once in a lifetime opportunity. And, you know, it's not, we've all, you know, everybody that's, you know, loves wine has gone to, you know, to tastings where they're disappointed in the way they're treated. You know, it's all kind of a mass produced thing. You know, somebody's reading from a script. It's you know, just rote. And, yeah, you get to taste a couple of things and this and that. But what I think the Durand people are going to do is just going to blow people's minds. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And we're going. We've been there. We filmed there. But we're definitely going to buy at least two of those perks, maybe more.
I'm looking on the Indiegogo.com link for Burgundy, People with a Passion for Wine. And I
yeah.
see here this DVD perk. So
yeah.
if people, and there are several perks for people, could get a limited edition DVD official pre-release of the movie. They could get a t-shirt,
yeah.
the name up on the credits, and even as an associate producer, depending upon what level people donate. But is this
yeah.
also, is the game plan also then to be approaching public television stations in, like, the United States to be picking this up, or are you going to submit
absolutely.
This to
yeah,
Sundance?
Absolutely. The game plan is to get, once we get the documentary finished, we're going to enter it in as many festivals as we can afford to do, and hopefully the right ones, and you know, get some recognition for it. I, just being on the Indiegogo, I've already had people approach me. Who want to do, you know, a premiere on their internet delivered wine channel, which I don't think I'm going to do, because you know, it's not going to be for free. This is really going to be you know, a production that people have to pay for,
right?
Because there's a lot of work and energy and love that has really gone into this film. So it's not just going to be free. But the people who contribute now will get, you know, a very special edition of the DVD, which will be the first time it ever is, you know, premiered. And if they buy, you know, perks, there are people, by the way, we already have two of the executive producer perks sold.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And we've also sold the Your Name in Lights, Round and Smoky. We tried to theme everything around the wine thing. We've sold two out of four so far on that. So we've had some nice contributions. And the funny thing is, and which really surprises me, is no one has bought the $5 or the $10 perk.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's real interesting, and I'm hoping that people will, you know, not be embarrassed, you know, and say, well, you know, I don't want to just give five. I mean, anything will help, you know, and crowdfunding
right.
is really just getting, you know, people to join together and to make something that, you know, people will enjoy. And this is the kind of film that is, I think, very difficult to get funded. You know, I mean, I found that out, you know, within the sponsor area, and that's why we made the commitment to go ahead and make it. And we feel it's going to be very, very successful.
So this has, what date, I don't remember, was you just put this up, like, what, in the last 6 days or something? And
yeah.
You're already 32% funded.
Yes, 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 really thrilled with that.
So when is the last date, Rudy, that this crowdfunding will close?
Well, it officially goes for 34 more days.
Okay.
And that's when it will close, but there will be an opportunity, if we make our target, to go on.
Okay.
Which I would love to do,
okay.
you know, because the 20,000 just covers the editing, the perks that we make, music rights, well, barely covers that. You know, and so it would be wonderful if we had enough people behind us to say, you know, let's pay for a movie that's going to be worth making. And you know, targeted people who love wine and food and travel and get a special point of view of it. I mean, one of the things about this movie that I personally feel is different than most of the kind of wine films, documentaries that you see, is that this movie is not you know, stiff. We're not only going to the most famous chateaus, talking to, you know, the people who've been around forever, but we go and talk to everybody. So we have, you know, we have the quality and caliber of the Drouin and the Louis Jadot and the Olivier Lefebvre, but we also have the small grower, you know, and it's where they grow the vines in the back of their house.
Wow.
Or at least behind their house.
Yeah.
And they share those grapes with a local winemaker, and they make their wine as well, and they sell it. So, you know, we've done a lot of different things. Like, we've also gone to one of the most famous barrel makers. And
Okay.
Yeah, the barrel maker is François Frère.
Okay.
Difficult to pronounce. But we, you know, Lydia and I got in there with the camera, and they don't let people in there because it's really a kind of a factory, but it is a, you know, a handcrafted factory where people are, you know, pounding on the barrels, and they're burning the insides of the barrels, you know, to get to prepare them properly. You know, they start outside with, you know, logs, and it ends up, you know, in all kinds of different shapes because they make barrels for people all over the world for the winemakers. And so we have some of that as well. And it's a varied kind of thing. We have some very exciting sequences of the wine auction that Christie's does every year. We were able to get right into the, you know, the heart of it. We've gotten people to be very, very open with us. And one of the really exciting events that we went to, and I would love to tell this story, it's called the Palais de Meursault. And this happens once a year, and it's a luncheon with about 700 to 800 winemakers and their guests. A very exclusive affair. So, you know, the first year that we went, you know, we had press passes. We were officially invited to come and spend the 3 days of the Trois Glorios celebration.
Okay.
But what we found out was that, well, you can't get into these really special things. And so one of our connections, who actually is the small winemakers I was telling you about, whenever we went down there, we used to stay in their gîte. Do you know what a gîte is?
I've heard that before, but
yeah.
I don't.
It's kind of like a bed and breakfast, you know,
okay.
but it's sanctioned by the French organization,
okay,
of gîtes. And so it's a great way, actually, to get to meet the local people, because you're not in a hotel where people have to be nice to you.
Got it.
But you're there with the local people, and you learn a lot more. And we became friends with them. And because her family is, I think, 3 or 4 generations as well of winemakers, they had invitations to go every year. But unfortunately, they had already given those tickets away. And so she made some calls for us, and I said, look, you know, we don't want to sit down, we don't want to eat, we don't want to drink. Well, we do, but we didn't, you know. So we just want to come and film. Will you let us in? And we got permission to do that.
Wow.
So it starts at 12, and it ends at 7 o'clock, give or take. And we got there at 1 o'clock, and the place was just packed with people, and, you know, everyone, all the winemakers bring 2 or 3 or many, you know, sometimes they bring cases of their very finest wine so they can taste each other's wines. It's a very special kind of thing. Plus, you know, gourmet meal, probably a 5-course or so that's going by. So Lydia and I walk into this place, and we're expecting that somebody is going to stop us, like, you know, what are you doing here, or anything. But no one bothered us at all. And I thought, well, you know, okay, we have all this equipment that we have to haul in here. We have lights and camera slider, which makes these nice moves, and we've, you know, camera and tripod and all these things. And so I saw an area in the middle where the bandstand was, and I thought, well, you know, nobody seems to mind, you know, so let's go. So we set up there and started doing our first shooting. And what was really interesting is the people got so used to us being there that we were invisible. And, you know, sometimes Lydia would pull me back because my shotgun microphone would almost go into some lady's plate, you know, interfere with her food. And she didn't even know we were there. So I have some of the most amazing footage of that. And you can see some of that in the pilot program. There's a short sequence.
Rudy, did you so you didn't have to get a release from everybody who's seen. They, just by the fact you being there was acknowledgement that they gave you permission to film them.
Yeah, there was also a notice up, you know, a notice that, okay, you know, coming here. There was a professional photographer there as well, and there was a notice that said, you know, by coming here, you allow us to use, okay, your footage. But whenever we have people who are featured on camera, we do get a release. And that was one of the, okay, jobs that Lydia had, was to, you know, get signatures. Lydia speaks French.
Yes.
And I speak very little French, very bad French, but Lydia speaks pretty good French. And so that was a great help for us.
So when you first, your very first foray at filming in Burgundy, were people suspicious of you in any way, shape, or form? And then as you kept going back, was it a lot of word of mouth, referral? I would imagine if you weren't there, there was a lot of gossip about what you were doing, and then people eventually wanted to get in on it.
It's a pretty big place, and I don't think that was the case at all. But I mean, okay, we got more and more comfortable, you know, and we knew how to work there, and you know, we like French people, so we had a house in the Provence, and so we were quite used to the way, you know, the culture works and the way, okay, people treat each other. So, you know, we didn't feel like we were really outsiders. I mean, we were. There's no doubt about that. But you know, it just went well, and it's just a matter of, you know, being able to communicate even if you can't communicate, you know, and people feel that, you know, people can feel if you're genuine and if, you know, you really, I mean, they could feel our passion, you know, and our thirst for understanding. We, you know, we did some really intense interviews with winemakers, you know, to ask them why they do what they do.
Yes.
And how it works. And so the movie is not really technical, you know, but the people who watch it will get, you know, quite a bit of knowledge about, you know, how things work and, you know, what makes terroir, you know, so special. In Burgundy, the terroir is amazing, because in Burgundy, one of the biggest problems there is trying to find a good wine. Now, doesn't that sound strange?
Trying to find a good wine?
Yes.
Because everything is better than good?
Well, no, because if you're just a visitor to Burgundy and you don't know where to go, and you go to some of the local wine bars and you buy, you know, whatever happens to be there, you will probably end up tasting wine that you don't like.
Oh.
Because what happens in Burgundy is all of the finest Burgundies are already spoken for.
Okay.
But where I was trying to go with this part of it is the terroir. You know, there can be a 3 or 4 foot row of vines that are owned by a particular producer, and the wine from that particular 2 or 3 or 4 rows will taste different than the rows that are outside of those, and that,
wow,
has to do with the terroir,
wow,
and what's happening with the ground.
Yes.
And so, you know, what happens in Burgundy also is that, and this is quite common, is that the hillier it is, the vineyards that are on the higher are the Grand Cru ones, because of the angle with the sun and also because of the structure of what's under the vines. And then the ones that are less good, but not always, but less good in general, might be the ones that were converted farmland. That was being used for, you know, I don't know, corn, soybeans,
okay,
whatever they were planting there.
Okay.
But as the wine industry grew there, they, you know, they spread out and bought more and more property and planted vineyards.
Okay.
So it's a confusing place. And that was one of the things, one of our objectives with this film was to try to demystify Burgundy. And this, you know, we had special questions that we asked people who know everything about that area, to try to make it so that people who watch the movie will know what to do and maybe, you know, have better luck there with having a really wonderful, enjoyable wine experience.
Oh, that's a grand idea.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's really all we were trying to accomplish. And then, you know, when I'm a documentary filmmaker who likes to have the people who are in the film tell the story. And when I was working at WHA Television, public television in Madison, Wisconsin, back in, oh my goodness, I think this was about 1974 or so, 75, I made the first documentary that was ever done at the Experimental Aircraft Association annual Oshkosh event. And this is what we did there. It was like telling, you know, having the people who do this tell the story and not have so much narration. There are some wine movies that are out now. They're, you know, perfectly wonderful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. But they use this sort of very tight, what I call kind of a straitjacket of a BBC-type presenter. You know, and in a way, everything is so, you know, controlled and so modeled that I think it takes away from the spontaneity of what, you know, the video is doing and what the people are saying. And so I try to limit that as much as possible. I mean, you have to do some voiceover to explain things,
right?
You know, because otherwise people wouldn't understand what's going on. And there's so many unusual things there. I mean, there's so many special things that we experienced over the last 2 years. I mean, I can't even, you know, it would take me forever to tell you about them. But we were able to, this last year, we were able to go down into the tastings of the barrels of the very young wine at the Hospice de Beaune on the day before the auction.
Wow.
Okay, and what happens there is that only, you know, the buyers, so the, you know, the people who have the money and are experts are in there. But there's, you know, it seems like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in there. And they're walking by the barrels, and they have their glass, and they get to taste this. And I was videoing, and one nice lady said, "Well, don't you want to taste this?" I said, "Sure, I do." And so I got a chance to taste it, and it tastes kind of like grapefruit juice.
Oh!
And I thought, "Oh my God! You know, these people—they, you know, they're such experts that they can taste." That this particular barrel is a barrel that they're going to spend, you know, maybe, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 on, because they know that this barrel will mature into something very special. And these are the kind of people that are down there.
Oh my gosh, you must have just been pinching yourself the whole time.
Oh, well, absolutely. And then, of course, I'm always looking through the you know, the camera, and so I'm seeing, you know, the beautiful stuff. And Lydia, you know, who was not a television professional, but, you know, that she's worked with me a lot now, was doing the lighting on the go. We have these LED lights that are battery operated, and one very, very nice one, special one that she had. And she would always, you know, shine the light so that we would have a kind of a rim effect, more dramatic, and especially in cellars and stuff. It's really a really cool thing to do. And I would just watch this imagery, you know, happening in my camera, and I would just, you know, as you say, I mean, I didn't have time to pinch myself, but I was mentally pinching myself,
yeah,
I have to say.
Yeah. Rudy, a lot of the audio is going to be in French, and so do you have then some subtitles in English? Or?
Well, you would be really surprised at how many French people actually do speak English.
Speak English, okay.
Yeah, and okay. So there are, I would say that the majority of what you will hear will be in English.
Okay.
And we have, you know, done the interviews in French, there are subtitles.
Okay.
So that, and I don't want to dub it.
Yeah,
I
was wondering
but,
if you'll,
yeah.
Eventually put it into, you know, Dutch or another language, or are you going to
It could happen. You know, it depends on what the distributor wants.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, that can all be done. In Holland, they don't dub any languages.
Okay.
And it's one of the reasons that the Dutch people are so great with languages. And the lady sitting next to me here, who hasn't had a chance to speak yet, speaks about six languages.
You're doing you're doing a fantastic job. Keep on going, okay?
but she speaks all kinds of languages. So what happens in Holland is that, you know, when you watch the television, you basically see subtitles and you hear the natural language. So people, you know, hear almost everybody speaks some sort of English. And even in France, you know, we've been going to France for a very long time, but I've noticed, and I've done trainings in France with French companies, that I've noticed that the younger people, you know, and they're younger, you know, in the 40s, 50s, are all speaking English now as well.
Wow.
And so it's really not, you know, it's not hard to like to go there and to get around. But it's very useful to speak French. And, you know, one of the icebreakers that I always use, because I have no choice, is when I meet someone, I always say, "Je ne parle pas français," which I think I say pretty well. And they say, "Ah, oui." And I said, "No, no, monsieur, je ne parle pas français,"
uh-huh, uh-huh.
Which means I don't speak any French.
Uh-huh.
But Lydia speaks French, so we got along just fine. And
oh, yeah.
Just, magnificent experience every time we go down there.
Wow. Now, let me ask Lydia a question or two.
Okay, Lydia.
Hi there, this is Lydia speaking.
How are you?
Hi. I am fine, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Rudy said that you are a doctor, so are you a medical doctor?
Yeah, that's right. I work in complementary medicine. I don't know whether you've ever heard of orthomolecular medicine. It's working with basically natural substances, vitamins, diet, and things like that.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm more into the natural type medicine. And that's what I do.
Is a glass of wine considered for some ailments a natural remedy to help with anxiety or whatever?
Well, the thing is that one of the things I do is I advise people on food supplements, for instance, and there are things you can do to boost your immune system and just, stay healthy, be healthy. And one of the things is that you may have heard of antioxidants, which
yes.
are certain type of vitamins that are just very good for your general, state, general being. And wine does have, especially red wine, has a particular antioxidant in it that is good for you. So I think it fits what I do, to tell people to have, in moderation, obviously, but
yes.
to drink wine and particularly red wine, absolutely is a good thing to do.
Lydia, let me ask you, if people log on to Indiegogo.com, what would they then, how would they find Burgundy People with a Passion for Wine? Should they just type that into the search bar or what?
I think I would have Rudy to answer the question,
because
he's really into the technical here. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
What was the question?
So if people go to Indiegogo.com, how will they find Burgundy People with a Passion for Wine? Do they type that into the search bar?
Well, I think so. I think that will work. And I also have a link that I can give you, and then you could put that. Let me just get.
Okay. And I see that.
Okay, I've got it here.
Okay.
So it's HTTP, colon and two forward slashes, IGG.
Okay.
.me.
Okay.
/@ Burgundy Film.
Okay.
That's a direct link.
Okay, and is the @, it's actually spelled out?
No, it's actually, I'm glad you asked that.
Okay.
No, it is actually spelled out.
Okay, I'm on the Indiegogo page here, and
yeah.
there is a Facebook link. I mean, do you have this up on Facebook, Twitter? I would imagine it's also up on the French Wine Society's website.
I would imagine. I'm not sure about that. But if you go to the bottom of the whole campaign, there are links there for Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and the website.
Okay.
So that the easiest way to find me is to just type any search engine and just say Rudy Goldman, RUDIGOLDMAN.
Okay.
And you'll find me, and you'll find the movies, the Burgundy, and or Burgundy, People with a Passion for Wine is on all the search engines, and it'll get you there. So I think it won't be hard for people to find us.
And you're up on YouTube with other projects, film projects
as
well.
Yeah, on YouTube and also on Vimeo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me again, so that we can get this in people's minds, that 34 days left, that's as of today, but they might not be listening to this for another week or 2 weeks. So when is the day that this crowdfunding for raising the $20,000 is through? Is it through August? So maybe it's like August 30th.
Yeah, I think that's it, August 30th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm so excited and I thank you to Julien Camus for putting this out in a shout-out email to people that French Wine Society is behind this, and this is so exciting, and I hope that a lot of people contribute, Burgundy people with a passion for wine.
I hope they do, too. I mean, we would really like to make our target, and, what I've learned about the Indiegogo and all the other kind of crowdfunding things is that, in the beginning, people get excited about it, but then sometimes they lose interest. And so, I'm going to be working very hard in the social media area And also on my website, because there's a dedicated website for the project, and that's probably the easiest way to find it, is just type in Burgundy People with a Passion for Wine, and you will find the dedicated website in there, and all the links that will take you where you need to go.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's probably the easiest thing to do.
Okay.
You know, we're going to be changing some of the perks as we go, and I'll be announcing that. We have I don't know if you saw the poster, but a lot of people really, really like that poster, and I do. I do as well. So I think, you know, there are some great, great perks here, and the wine tasting. Can I mention the other wine tasting perks?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Okay, so if you go the opposite spectrum, you know, of the Joseph Drouin,
yes.
His own Joseph Drouin, the opposite spectrum would be a small family-owned business called Maison Vincent Bouzereau in Meursault.
Okay.
And they are going to be featured in the movie quite a bit because we were there with them, you know, almost in four seasons.
Oh,
so
wow.
We were there with them in lots of different places. But this particular, they're a very interesting couple, a family, big family, and I think, again, generations, about three or four generations of winemakers in that area. They have just recently renovated their cellars in the old style. So they've built the beautiful cellars down there. Vincent is a singer, and he's also featured at the Pole de Meursault. He's up on stage with the singers and the band singing traditional music. He also plays the hunting horn, and there's a hunting horn group that he had invited after the Pole de Meursault, we went down into his cellars. And what was interesting was the way I met him, or Lydia and I met him, was that this gentleman walked up and said, "Are you Rudy Goldman? You must be because you have the camera." And I said, "Yes, I'm Rudy Goldman." And he said, "Well, my wife told me that the most important thing that I have to do while I'm here tonight is to introduce you to a winemaker." So I said, "Great, super." So we go over, and of course, I'm totally exhausted, 7 o'clock. Lydia and I have not eaten.
Yes.
We have not had anything to drink, except maybe in the bathroom. We got some water out of the faucet. You know, we were starving. We were exhausted. I couldn't shoot another person, you know, tasting a wine.
Yes.
And so we go to the table, and we meet this man, and he said, "Well, would you like to come with us to some wine tastings that we're going to be, we have a group of people that want to do it." And I looked at Lydia, and I said, I'd love to do this. And I said to him, "Look, you know, we would love to do that, but we haven't had anything to drink." He says, "You haven't had anything to drink?" I said, "No." And immediately, you know, two glasses arrived, and they were, you know, filled with wine. And I said, "Well, we also haven't had anything to eat." And he said, "Why don't you come over to our house and we'll feed you?"
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this is an example of Burgundian hospitality. And, you know, one of our other perks is with Olivier Lefebvre in Pouligny-Montrachet, who also has a beautiful place with a hotel with, I think, five or six very interesting rooms. But he has a philosophy that you don't taste wine unless you're eating something. So they have a wonderful lunch there. All the waiters there are sommeliers. And so when you get your lunch, you also get to taste a selection of the Olivier Lefebvre wines. And that's another great experience. So that's another one of the perks that we have. But back to Vincent. So we went into his house and went into the kitchen, and Vincent pulls out some wine. You know, of course, none of the bottles have labels on them. And then he pulls out all kinds of food that his wife had just made, and bread and all the traditional things. And we, and Lydia and I ate. And they were having the wine tasting in the big room that has a fireplace and piano and stuff. And people were coming in and saying hello to us and his mother. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. So, and this experience, you know, people can repeat this experience to some degree because they've built a beautiful tasting room with a big fireplace so that, you know, the tasting start in the cellars. They'll have a chance to taste out of the barrel, which is quite unusual. Not many people get a chance to do that. They will also, you know, then go into the house, the addition to the house, and there will be a fireplace and a table set with some traditional Burgundian foods, and they'll be tasting some older wines there. And that's all will all be described. And those perks have not appeared yet on the Indiegogo site.
Okay.
And there's also one more, and that's Louis Jadot. A lot of people know Louis Jadot. They've been around for a long time. The head winemaker of Louis Jadot, who retired on the evening that we taped him, is featured. And you can see him. He starts off the Burgundy pilot. A very special man, and he's you'll see him all over the place in the movie. He unfortunately won't be there, but they make excellent wines, and they're going to do what's called a horizontal tasting. Do you know that?
Yes, yes.
Yes. So that's going to be very special.
Oh, this is so exciting.
We had tasted some fantastic wines because, you know, we were with the journalists, and they had very special lunches and tastings for the journalists. And so we did get to taste, but it's, you know, when you're doing the videoing, you know, your focus is really
right,
on that.
Right.
And it's really tough to remember what you had. And, you know, at
right.
the Pôle de Meursault, we tasted some things that were just mind-blowing. But, you know, what happens there is you actually have to spill the wine out. So you get a glass and you taste and you think, oh my goodness, that's so good, I'm just put that aside. And if you do that, then you'll have two or three glasses in front of you, and you'll be under the table. You know,
yes,
it's just survival, because you know Lydia and I got to go last year, and so we didn't do any taping. I just did some photography, and you know, we were on the survival mode to try to see how we could get through that party of 7 hours.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, how simply amazing. I'm going to put on my calendar to check the end of August and see how you're going. I hope that you end up getting contributions from people that it goes way over $20,000, so you don't have to pay out of your pocket to be submitting to all these different film festivals and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it'd be great if people would contribute. And I think they're really going to get something valuable out of it, you know, and there are going to be a lot of people once they see this film, you know, who I think will want to travel to that region as well. Mm. And maybe get a different idea about, you know, not just going to the grocery store and pulling a bottle of wine, off the counter, off the shelf. This is, I think, the biggest lesson that I've learned is that you have to go and taste. And when you find something you really like, then buy that and enjoy that. Because, you know, just trying to find something special without some knowledge about it and having some kind of experience about it, it's just a useless affair. I mean, you're just going to spend a lot of money and be disappointed. And so that's what we always have tried to do.
That is wonderful advice for anybody, who, especially if they're, you know, trying to study something that is of a different language and a different, you know, region and that sort of thing, not familiar
yeah.
with the culture. Well, Rudy
yeah.
Goldman and Lydia Buchan, thank you so very much for joining us this week on iWine Radio. This has really been a lot of fun.
Well, thank you so much for having us on the program.
You're listening to iWine Radio, first in wine talk. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.
Hello, I'm Julien Camus, founder of the French Wine Society. We offer online and in-classroom education about the wines of France through our network of 25 schools in the U.S., Canada, and now Asia. If you would like to learn more about our programs, please visit our website at www.frenchwinesociety.org. Merci and santé!